Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. After a holiday week when grills have been ablaze for hot dogs, burgers, and ribs, we're going to shift focus and diet to learn about some delicious vegan options for summer meals. Here to educate us on the joys of vegan cuisine is Brenda Sanders, co-founder and CEO of Thrive Baltimore. Thrive Baltimore provides education and resources to those seeking to adopt a vegan diet and lifestyle. Tomorrow, July 7th, from noon to 6 p.m., they're hosting the second annual Vegan Marketplace. Welcome to On the Record, Brenda.
Thank you so much.
First, explain what a vegan diet consists of. How is it different from vegetarian?
So it goes a little bit further towards cutting out animal products. So while the vegetarian diet, oftentimes folks are still eating dairy and eggs, with the vegan diet, it's 100% plant-based. So no animal products whatsoever.
What about protein?
We get that question so much. What vegans generally will tell people is that, number one, there's plenty of protein in the vegetable kingdom. And then we ask the question, well, where do the cows get their protein?
Where do the cows get their protein?
From eating plants. There is protein in plants. And, you know, the same way that the animals' bodies can convert those nutrients into protein, so can we. So, with vegans, we pretty much kind of see it as going straight to the source to get our nutrients as opposed to sort of having an intermediary.
What does Thrive Baltimore do to promote veganism?
So we try to just be a resource for education, information, and support. So we only just opened up about a year and a half ago, but we have a physical space where people can now come to workshops, cooking classes, demos, film screenings, just lots and lots of different events and educational opportunities for people to just come out and, first of all, figure out what this even is, and then figure out different ways to start incorporating more plant-based eating into their everyday lives.
What prompted you to get involved in this?
Oh, wow. Well, I've been vegan for 21 years, so it's been a long road for me. But
why did you initially become vegan?
Well, I was young.
You were?
And I was sort of getting into this idea of, your body being a temple. And so, you put the best foods into it. And all the research that I was doing, even from the medical industry, was saying that plants are healthy. And so I just wanted to sort of research and find out how I could eat that way and still be healthy. And then I found this whole like vegan movement, which I didn't even know existed. But initially it was just a way to be healthier and thrive.
And that was 21 years ago, but you didn't start Thrive Baltimore until much more recently. What prompted that?
Yeah, so I was just reading about statistics. I grew up in the projects in Baltimore, and so I sort of grew up around people who would just reach a certain age and then be sick, you know? And I thought that that's just what happens. You get to a certain age and then you just have diabetes, or you just have heart disease, or you have high blood pressure. It didn't, I didn't find out until much later, probably about 8 years ago, that a lot of these conditions are directly connected to the foods that we're eating. And then finding out that there was this huge health disparity between low-income people in Baltimore and people who were more affluent, and the biggest factor that was involved was diet. And since I had been eating this way for years already, I decided that I wanted to just try to spread that information to other people.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Brenda Sanders, co-founder and CEO of Thrive Baltimore, about the joys of a vegan lifestyle and the vegan marketplace tomorrow at Station North. What can visitors expect at the vegan marketplace tomorrow afternoon?
Lots and lots of plant-based foods. We have some great, great vendors who are coming out to basically show the people of Baltimore what plant-based foods have to offer. Companies like Zoe's Vegan Delights and Tiffany's Oven and The Greener Kitchen, these are folks who are either on the farmers market circuit or the festival circuit. And so they travel with delicious vegan food and they just wow people. We are going to have so lots and lots of delicious food. We'll also have organizations who are coming out to talk about the different aspects from health to environment to animal rights. Folks who are trying to disseminate information in Baltimore about the different ways that the vegan lifestyle can benefit not just your personal health, and that's really important, but also how eating this way and living this way can have a positive impact on the environment and on our relationship to animals as well.
Give us the short version of the environmental argument.
So now there's lots and lots of information coming out about the strain that animal agriculture currently, the animal agriculture systems themselves currently put on the environment, from water pollution and the collapse of the oceans due to overfishing, to air pollution from, you know, all the greenhouse gases that are being emitted from these large scale cattle companies, to even soil pollution. And not only that, but a lot of these large scale factories are encroaching on low-income communities of color and polluting their communities as well. And so there's just such an impact on the environment that if we were to start incorporating more plant-based foods into our diets and therefore shifting this intense animal-based food system over to a more plant-based food system, a lot of these issues would start to be resolved.
So that's tomorrow. The Vegan Marketplace is tomorrow from noon to 6. Next month, another big event, the Vegan Soul Fest. Tell us about that.
Vegan Soul Fest, this is our our fifth year doing this festival. It started as just a small, or what we thought would be a small venture between myself and Naja Wright Brown, who is co-owner of the Land of Kush vegan restaurant on Utah Street. We got together and we were trying to think of ways that we could engage the community in Baltimore with this information in a fun way and in a way that would draw people in. And we had this idea to do a festival. We thought, you know, maybe a couple hundred people would come out the first year in 2014, and 1,200 people came out, and it was packed and it was popular. And it's only gotten bigger since. It's only gotten bigger and more robust since then. In 2017, just last year, we had about 10,000 people come out to this festival. So, and we're expecting to, you know, almost double that this year as well. So
that's
exciting.
That's August 25th at Clifton Park.
Yes.
What do you hear from people about who haven't been involved in veganism before about what's pulling them into it? The newcomers to these festivals, what do they tell you?
The food. People are so excited about the food.
The way it tastes?
Yes, the way it tastes. The fact that they feel better when they eat this way. The fact that they never knew that there were all these different ways to prepare plant foods and still be satisfied and still have that comfort food, happy feeling afterwards. They do come out for the educational components. We have speakers from the medical industry who come out to talk about nutrition and plant-based eating. We have running cooking demos by vegan chefs, local vegan chefs, showing people how to prepare the foods. And then there's the entertainment and the children's activities, and it's really just a great time.
You brought a favorite recipe.
I did. It's a vegan mac and cheese recipe.
Vegan mac and cheese?
Yes.
Okay. I was wondering about cheese.
Yes. Yes. Everybody wonders about cheese.
I can imagine being happy with a lot of plant foods, but boy, would I miss cheese.
And lots of people do, because when we talk comfort foods, I mean, that's the one food that lots of people
For sure.
Point to. But what I've learned over the time that I've been doing this work is that cheese is more of a concept than a constant. And so you start from a milk, which we all know can either come, you know, from a dairy cow or a goat or almonds or soybeans or any number of other kinds of milks. And then you just take that milk and you take it through the cheese making process. And so
the same kinds of enzymes that make cheese out of cow's milk?
Absolutely. You can use the same kinds of enzymes. And for some people who don't want to go through the culturing, because, you know, there's lots of steps and it can be complicated, there are foods that mimic tastes. You know, there are the recipe that I brought today uses a base of potatoes, carrots, and tomatoes, which you would never, ever think in a million years would ever come out tasting like cheese.
Potatoes, carrots, and tomatoes
Absolutely.
Come out tasting like cheese?
They do when you add the right combination of spices. It's really exciting stuff. It's like chemistry when you start, you know, combining all these different tastes and coming out with flavors that remind you of the products that you used to eat. It's just a really fun time.
So we're going to put the recipe on our website at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. But just as an overview, I get that the pasta, the macaroni, can be is plant-based.
Right.
But what? Tell us conceptually how you turn it into mac and cheese.
Well, it's all about the cheese. It's all about getting the consistency and the mouthfeel. It needs to feel like cheese. The taste, it needs to taste like cheese. It just needs to take you to that experience. And so blending the starches and the vegetables with the spices, it really, I'm telling you, it won't look like it's going to work. But when you taste that mac and cheese sauce, you'll be amazed. Absolutely amazed.
Okay, I will be amazed. Thrive Baltimore does a mac and cheese competition.
We do. So we host a yearly vegan mac and cheese competition where we bring competitors from all over the country together to compete for a grand prize, a cash prize for the best vegan mac and cheese. And this year we brought out thousands of people most of the people who come to the competition have never even heard of plant-based eating or the vegan diet or anything. They just heard mac and cheese and they want in. And so we got so many folks who gave testimonials about just being absolutely floored by how delicious and creative and just innovative these different types of mac and cheeses were. Everything from cashew based to soy milk based to, you know, the vegetable based. They judge, you know, we have a People's Choice Award. So folks get to actually be judgmental. So that's always fun. And
when does this happen?
It happens in February. So we are now, it's gotten so big now that we've outgrown every other space. And so we're thinking that we'll have to be like at maybe the convention center or somewhere big because this is such a popular event.
And the mac and cheese recipe you have brought us is one of the winners?
It should have been. If I had been able to compete and I had brought this recipe in, then I'm pretty sure we would have placed.
Can't wait to taste it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brenda Sanders, co-founder and CEO of Thrive Baltimore. She's been telling us about the vegan marketplace at Thrive Baltimore's headquarters, 6 East Lafayette Avenue, tomorrow from noon to 6 p.m. Next month, there's Vegan Soul Fest on August 25th in Clifton Park. We have links to all the information about both events at the On the Record page, WIPR.org. Also there, that recipe for mac and cheese. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Kass. Quick break, and then a Stoop story about turning school cafeterias green. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Kast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.